Well, it's good to be home. And I've grown up in Montana my whole life, and but there's nothing like coming back to this place. And some of you tested me when I first came here to see if there was anything to me. And I don't know if it worked or not, but I fooled some of you. But kind enough to give me some work and things like that. And but the thing I'm probably most blessed to have because of this place is my wife. Amen. And God's been so good to me. She married down and I married way up. I still don't know how my father-in-law ever let me or let her say, yeah, it's okay. And when we went to have a talk, I thought he was going to shoot me. I'm so glad he didn't like to hunt or anything because he didn't carry a gun with him. But my brother-in-law does, so I watch him very carefully all the time. Just wonder about it. I'm so glad to be here. And thank you, church, for doing all this. I can't even imagine all the work that's taken place to put all this up and put it all together and all the meals. I really just came for the meals this week. Man, they gave me a menu, and I was like, man, we can't miss that. We'll skip some of the preaching, but I'll make sure to be part of the meals. And, but I'm so glad to be a part of it, and every part of it. Thank you, Pastor Ross, for your vision for all of this and all the organization and the stick-to-itiveness, and Sister Cheryl right there behind. All I know he says this, everything that has his hand on it has her fingerprints all over it. And so thank you very much. Amen. Such a blessing. And Brother Max, where are you at? I need your sermon afterwards because I need the outline. Yeah, I need that outline because I'm going to preach that. By the way, there's no such thing as a better sermon. If you preach the Bible, it's a good sermon. And you preach the Bible. And Brother Mike, where'd you go? You back in the sound? Hey, don't ever apologize for getting emotional because of what Jesus did. Amen. David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He lost it for a little while. And so don't ever apologize. When we get bored of our own salvation experience or somebody else's salvation experience, you need to check your spiritual pulse. Amen. Now, that was the sermon before the sermon. And that was free. That's not of charge. I'm getting paid for the rest of this. So we'll... There was something about my introduction being 12 minutes or something like that. I got to tell you a story. Is that ready? It's only 12 minutes long. My daughter's been praying. This year, our theme at our church is teach us to pray. And so she's been praying and praying and praying. One day, she was praying and weeping and praying. And my wife said, what's wrong, Kidron? And she said, I've been praying and praying and praying that the sermons would get shorter, but God doesn't answer my prayers. Some of you have been praying, and God's not going to answer your prayer right now either. Anyway, 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. And the joy of children. At least they're honest. Amen. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 15. 1 through 15. And I know you've sat and stood and sat and stood, but if you do me a favor one more time, if you're able to, would you stand for the reading of God's word one last time? Verse number 1 of 2 Kings chapter number 2, the Bible says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into the heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, well, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace.
And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And the men of the sons went and stood to view afar. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. It came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeareth a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in pieces. And he took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood at the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Father, I need some help right now. It's already been a good meeting. I'm so thankful for every single message that's been preached today. Some of them I didn't get to hear. Some of them were out with some young people in teen classes, in junior church, primaries. I didn't get to hear those, but people got saved today. So I'm thankful for every message. I'm thankful for a reminder of the cross and bearing the cross and what that means for me personally. I'm thankful for what my brother-in-law was able to preach this morning. I'm thankful for the reminder of to look for us at hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm glad that this church holds that name, always pointing people just by their name to look to you. I'm thankful, Father, a reminder of David's life and, Lord, his courage, and that we all should take courage. Father, I'm thankful tonight for a reminder of your goodness and your grace to us, and the Lord, the responsibility we have with that grace. Now I ask that you would help me as I try to deliver your word. Fill me with thy spirit. I desperately need your help. Refrain from my lips anything that wouldn't be necessary, and only things that would please thee. May you be honored and glorified and lifted up tonight. Draw people to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray and ask these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So in 2 Kings chapter number 2, we have the end of Elijah's life. He gets caught up in a whirlwind. And there's an interesting phrase that's used in here, a question that's asked really of Elisha. Now, Elijah told him, hey, tarry here, stay here for a while, I got to go to this place. And Elisha said, no, I'm going to stick around this guy. And by the way, that's key to this whole message right there, is he decided he'd stay around Elijah. But he asked him a question here in verse number 9. He says, Here, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, I want you to notice something about that. That spirit there is spirit with a little S, not spirit with a big S. We understand spirit with a big S, that's the Holy Spirit of God, right? And by the way, I believe every Christian should have the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that. And you get the filling of the Holy Spirit of God by spending time with God. That's how you get it. But here, he's not asking for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not negating that at all. But he's asking for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, little S. In Numbers chapter number 14 and verse 24... And the Bible says there about Caleb, it says that he had another spirit. In other words, there's something different about him than the rest of the spies that went in. Caleb had another spirit, a different type of spirit, a different demeanor, a different disposition, as you could say, a different type of attitude than the rest of them. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 15, the Bible says there, Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. Little S. Her spirit was sorrowful. That was her disposition. That was her countenance. That was her attitude, an attitude of sorrow. In 1 Kings 21 and verse 5, the Bible says there that Jezebel came to her husband. And he said, "Why is thy spirit so sad?" Because he was a whiner, that's why. And and it caused him not even eat bread, the Bible says. Because he had a sorrowful spirit. He was mournful. He was selfish is what he really was. In Psalm 51, there when David's getting right with God, he says, "Create in me a clean heart." And he says, "Renew a right spirit in me," little s. In other words, his attitude wasn't what it was supposed to be. His disposition didn't carry itself well. Proverbs speaks of a faithful spirit in Proverbs 11:13. A hasty spirit in chapter 14, verse number 29. It talks about a broken spirit in chapter number 15 and verse 13, and also in chapter number 17 and verse 22. It talks about a haughty spirit in chapter 16 and verse 18. It talks about a humble spirit in chapter 16 and verse 19. It talks about a wounded spirit in chapter 18 and verse 14. You say, "Why are you giving me all this?" Because the Bible is very, very wanting us to understand the importance of our spirit, our disposition, our attitude about things. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, verse 28, it says, "He that hath no rule over his spirit," little s, "is like a city that is without walls, broken down." Right? It's something that can be easily run over. In other words, our attitude fluctuates all the time. We have no barriers there, and whatever comes in will dictate then our spirit, our attitude, our disposition. The spirit with a little s is speaking to that effect so often. Not every single time. Sometimes you talk about a spirit that's talking about an evil spirit, something that's a devilish type spirit. But a lot of times, if you'll study it out, most of it's talking about somebody's attitude, the way they carry themselves. And we get a lot of times our attitude by the people we hang around, our disposition. Remember, I told you that we get the filling of the Holy Spirit from hanging around God. And so the longer you hang around God, the more of the filling of the Holy Spirit you get. Can I say this? When it comes to our regular, everyday disposition, it depends on who we listen to, who we hang around. In other words, if I want to learn how to gripe, I hang around gripers. If I want to have a spirit that has that just every time somebody talks to me, we got something negative to say, that means I'm hanging around negative people. I've got a negative spirit, a negative disposition. If I want to be a part of the borderline crowd, or I have a borderline type spirit where I'm always pushing the edge of the rules. Now, I know there's nobody at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that does that, and nobody a part of the school that does that, and nobody's ever that's gone off to Bible college and never pushed the rules. But reason they push the rules is because they hang around people that push the rules. That spirit rubs off on them. See, if I want to be a complainer and a whiner all the time, then I'll just listen to whiners all the time. If I want to be selfish and have a selfish type spirit, then I hang around selfish people. And so it's oftentimes dictated by those you hang around. Here, the Bible says that the spirit of Elijah came upon Elisha and fell on him. Can I make two statements, just two brief statements? This is, by the way, this is my 12-minute introduction. Two brief statements. One is this. Number one, someone's spirit will fall upon you. Someone's spirit will fall upon you. And number two, which I've already stated, is this. You have the spirit of those you associate with. You have the spirit of those you associate with. Now, you say, what does this have to do with Blessed Hope Baptist Church in their 50th anniversary? I want you to understand something. There's a certain spirit about this place. And there's a certain reason why it is what it is and it's taken on what it is over the last 50 years. And I like to hang around. I mentioned that it's like coming home. And the reason like it's coming home because I like the spirit of this place. I enjoy the spirit of this place. It's home to me. It's and I'm going to get ahead of myself. It has a refreshing type spirit, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But there's something about this place, and what I want to do is I know that there's every age group in this room right now. There's every age group, but for just a moment, I am going to target an age group. Okay, anybody below the age of 40. You say, why below 40? Because that's young. That's young. You say, how old are you? Older than 40. Amen. And but Here, the reason Elisha hung around Elijah is because he wanted his spirit. Elijah said, hey, listen, tarry here for a little while I go over to this place. And Elisha said, no, wherever you're going, I'm going. I got to hang out with you because I want to hang around your spirit. I want whatever you've got. That's what he was saying. Right, yeah. And so he hung around him. And so they went to the next place. And then from there, the Lord said, I want Elijah, I want you to go to here. And so Elijah said, why don't you tarry here and hang out here for a little while I go to this place? And Elijah said, no, I need to be part of your spirit. I want that on me. Whatever you've got, I want to rub off on me. So I'm going to hang out with you. And what I want to encourage is the next generation. Listen, hang out with the generation that came before. I know some of them are a part of the great cloud of witnesses, but there's a lot of that are still around here. There's a certain spirit that was around them that got this place going. There's a certain disposition, a certain attitude that they had. And you say, well, what kind of attitude did they have? Well, I'm going to give it to you tonight. You ready? Now, this probably won't cover ground, and you can add to it however you want to add to it. But I'm going to start with this. Number one, they had a spirit of sacrifice. A spirit of sacrifice. Now, and the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. I want you to understand when it's saying here, a spirit of sacrifice, sometimes people think just finances. And that, by the way, I know that's taking place to get this thing what it is this week. Just to have this tent and just all the things financially, bringing all these preachers in and all their families in for the week. That takes financial sacrifice. But can I say this? Financial sacrifice never happens unless there's a personal sacrifice. I'm talking about you decide that you're going to give yourself. The Apostle Paul talked about a church, the churches in Macedonia that were poor. And he says, they didn't give like we hope they give, but they first gave their own selves. That's what they gave. I heard of an illustration one time of a little boy that came up after a service, and they had an offering, and he couldn't put anything in the offering plate. And so he took one of the offering plates down, and he put it down in the front, and he put himself in it. He says, it's all I got to give to God. Yep. By the way, if you'll give yourself, he'll do more with you than you can possibly imagine. And that's how this thing got off the ground, because there are some people that said, you know what? My body's not my own. I'm bought with a price. I'm going to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, little s. And I'm going to give myself to God. I'm going to present myself there. And that's the reason this place got off the ground, because some people decided they're going to have a spirit of sacrifice. We're losing that. Hey. Right. We have a whole generation of people that want it easy. Right. But there's a level of sacrifice to anything that comes to the work of God. That was mentioned this morning when I listened to the Sunday school message that my brother-in-law gave. Listen, when you talk about the cross, when you talk about the crucifixion, that sacrifice is what that is. That's dying to self. That's why he says, deny yourself, right? Take up your cross and follow me. That's what he said. It's a spirit of sacrifice. Hey, get around some people that knows what it means to really sacrifice. Amen. Now, in that passage, and I won't preach all of this, but it gives a requirement in Romans chapter 12 about this sacrifice. It says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So that sacrifice has got to be clean. Right. You know, this whole newfangled religion, they call it new fundamentalism. That's the biggest oxymoron I've ever heard. New fundamentalism.
Yeah.
If it's right. Fundamental, it's not new. That makes sense to me. I played basketball and I played football, and there's these things called fundamentals. They don't change. They don't change. And so there's no such thing as new fundamentals. It's not fundamental if it's new. And one of the things they're taking away is cleanliness in our life as Christians. That's part of presenting bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, right? Clean before God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, it says, ye are washed. Yep. Washed, made clean.
Yep.
Aren't you glad your sins are clean? I mean, no, you are washed like right now. That's a present state. Ye are washed. By the way, tomorrow's a new now. In God's eyes, I'm washed. But sometimes I don't act like I'm washed. And if you look in the context of that passage there where he says, ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified. The context of that passage is right before that. He says, but such were some of you. Gives this long list. Yep. And then after that, he deals with the sin of fornication. You know what he's telling that church? He says, listen, church, you are washed. God cleaned you all up. Listen, church, you're sanctified. Set apart. I'll deal with that in a minute. You are justified just as if you'd never sinned. That's your position in Christ. Now act like it. That's what he's saying. Amen. Amen. And so get around some people that understood that. The old time religion. I like the old time religion. And get around people of the old time religion. Their sacrifice was clean. Their sacrifice was sanctified. That means it's set apart. Set apart. You know, they first started. And they started in the living room. And then they moved out to the garage, correct?
Right.
Now listen. That living room was just a living room. And the garage is just a garage until it became a church. Hold on. Something different happened in that living room. Something happening different in that garage. It wasn't the same place as it used to be. You know, I bet there were some things they didn't allow going on in that living room while church was going on. That they would allow at other times, but listen, not while church was going on. Or in the garage. Nobody's changing oil in that garage while church is going on.
Amen.
Why? Because it was sanctified. It was set apart for a specific use. Specifically, sanctification deals with being set apart for God's use. Think about the Old Testament for just a moment. The tabernacle. The tabernacle is just a tent. That's all it is. Other people had tents. That's how they moved. That's how they lived. But that tent was different. They didn't do everything that they did in their other tents in that tent. I like it, the fact that that there should be something to a place where they say, you know what, this thing is set apart. Right here, I got a microphone in front of me. Listen, this is just a microphone. But this one's been sanctified. It's set apart. As far as I know, there's no rock music that's ever been on this one. There's no country music that's ever been on this one. Oh, I'm starting to meddle. If this was Montana, that's meddling right there. I said country music. There's no pop music, no rap. Is rap music? No, I didn't think so. There's none of that going on. Why? Because it's set apart. Listen, in other places, it's just a microphone. Here, listen, this is sanctified. And so get around some people that were sanctified. They were set apart for the master's use, and hang around them for a little while. And then it says in that passage, a willing sacrifice. Nobody's going to force you. Nobody forced them to meet there. They wanted to meet there. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you want to meet here? Hey, you young people. How many of you want to meet here? I know some of you have to be here, but how many of you want to be here? Hang around the people that want to be here. Don't get around those people. Well, I don't know why we got to be here every day. It's Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday. Hey, praise God, and so much the door more as we see the day approaching, right? Get around those people. Hey, a spirit of sacrifice. Number two, a spirit of surpassing. I'm going to give it kind of partially alliterated, okay? Because I'm just like everybody else. I couldn't find words that worked. So I'll give you two. I got 6 points. Some of you are nervous now. All right. But so two of them will have the same ones. Spirit of surpassing. What is that? Excellence. In Daniel chapter number 5, verse 12, it talks about Daniel there. And there's all kinds of people there that could foretell the future. They had wisdom or knowledge. They did. Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar, all those kings were surrounded by wise men. But there was something that made Daniel different. Yep. The Bible says, for as much was in him an excellent spirit.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Excellent. It surpassed other things.
Right.
I've been in a lot of churches. When we went on deputation to start our church in Frenchtown, we were in 77 churches in 1 year.
Wow.
By the way, you know what I found is there's a lot of places where they're getting after it for God. It was encouraging to me. But not every place, listen, not every place surpasses or has a state of excellence in them. You know what I appreciate about this place is people that want to do it right.
Amen.
I mean, do it to the best of their ability. Now, you may not have much. At the beginning, there wasn't much. I mean, there was a pulpit that looked worse than this at the beginning, according to the pictures I saw. And I'm praising God that there's not ants climbing around. Although it gave me an excuse to slap the pulpit. And but listen, they gave their best with what they had. And that spirit of excellence has carried all the way through. I look around and I see the buildings and I see what's going on and the way the teaching goes and the preaching has gone over these decades. Listen, it's a spirit of excellence giving their best. Their best. When I was at college, one of the things they said, it's just been ingrained in me. It says, take the high road. And the high road is not choosing between the good and the bad, because anybody can choose that and choose good. High road is taking choosing between the good and the best and always choosing the best. Hey, Blessed Hope, always choose the best.
Amen.
Don't just try and get by. Now, listen, every time I come here, I'm always encouraged and challenged. But I want to say this. Listen, those that are doing bus ministry, listen, always give your best.
Amen.
I mean, I know it's tough. I mean, long hours, and I mean, you're tired after, and you've got kids that have screamed all day long and jumped up and down and all these kinds of things and asked you dumb questions. And I had a girl one time, she got on the bus. The first thing she did, I opened the door and I smiled at her. And she was the smilingest little girl, little blonde girl, cute as a button. And she smiled real big and she goes, guess what? And I was all excited because I thought she was going to tell me this great thing. I said, what? And she goes, I just puked. She's going to get on my bus. I didn't know what to say. I said, good. And she looks at me and she goes, no, not good. Amen.
Amen.
What does that have to do with anything? I'm talking about, listen, just excellence. Always giving your best. No second-rate Sunday school lessons. No second-rate teaching. No second-rate anything. If you're going to build it to the best of your abilities, right? And don't have me build it because it won't look very good. All right. Very good. Next one. They had a spirit of pioneering.
Come on.
In order to have a spirit of pioneering, that means they had a spirit of vision. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish, right? We understand that. We understand, listen, that there's a place that here called Jasonville and the surrounding areas where a church was started in this area for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to reach people with the cause of Christ. I'm always encouraged when I see the map, preacher, the map. By the way, we got one.
Amen.
You know why we have one? Because of the spirit of this place.
Amen.
That's where I got that idea. I wanted to hang around the right people.
Amen.
I wanted to be able to see that and mark those things off because I wanted that kind of a spirit where we pioneer into different areas in our church. Just recently in our church, I talked to him. I said, hey, listen, we've got Butte, and there's about 33,000 people in that area right in Butte. But we got these surrounding little communities around there. And I said, you know what would be good is if our church started a church in one of those areas.
Amen.
And I said, not off of a church split, but I mean, as long as we could start the church, we'd be all right. But those areas need the gospel. We have a guy that's going to come into a place up in the northern part of Montana and start a church in a town called Libby. Very tough town. Very tough town. And I told our church, I said, listen, not only do I want to have the guy in and be able to listen to him and his burden and support him financially, I like to take a group of our people up there and go give John and Romans. That's the same thing we do there. Why? Why? Because it's a spirit, listen, of pioneering. That's a work that's getting off the ground. Hey, Blessed Old Baptist Church, don't ever lose that. Please don't ever lose that. And continue on with it. You young people, listen, get a vision for something that you can do. Not just jump in, let's say, and I think you ought to jump in and get alongside somebody. But hey, why don't you start something?
Right.
I mean, we have a few. You have how many bus routes do you have, preacher?
We have four.
Four bus routes. There could be five.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Could be six.
Yes, sir.
Could be ten.
Yep.
Right.
Yes,
right.
My father-in-law was looking at me. He's like, "No, I don't want to work on all those." What I'm saying is, listen, there always could be more. But you have to have a pioneering spirit, somebody to get it off the ground. When I was at Bible college, one of the best things that ever happened to me is I was on a part of an inner city route, East Knoxville. And it's not like Chicago inner city, but it had its problems. I mean, I'd never gone to a place where I saw bullet holes on the outside going into a... That's foreign to me, being in Montana. Now, we have guns and we have bullets, but we usually don't shoot them into people's homes. And it was just different for me. And I got a part of that bus route. And when we first started, we had one route for Sunday morning, and we had one route in the afternoon. We'd go and we'd pick up in the morning, and then we'd drop off, and we'd have an afternoon route, and we'd run an afternoon Sunday school program. And then one day, the guy that kind of was overseeing that, he came to me and he says, "I want you to go to this area over here, and I want to start a bus route over there." I said, "Do we have one over there?" And he said, "No." I said, "Do we have a bus?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "But I want you to do something." So I went over there, and the first thing I did is I just started walking the roads. Yep. He said, "Did you knock on any doors?" "No." I was seeing which houses were safe and which ones weren't. "No." I walked the roads. I just began to pray, "Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Right. I'm stuck in the inner city of Knoxville, and I'm white."
Right. Right. Right.
And I started walking those things, and I started praying, and then I just, one by one, we just started knocking doors. I didn't know what else to do. I started talking to kids and talking to their parents, and pretty soon we had people signed up to go, and pretty soon a bus route was born, and we ended up to a point where we were averaging about 50 or so on our bus route. And by the way, that didn't stop there. By the time we were done with Bible college, that one route that started when we first had it ended up being 6 routes.
Amen. Amen.
But we had a group of people that had a pioneering spirit.
Amen.
You got to learn to do something that's beyond you.
Right.
We wouldn't have the United States of America if it wasn't for people that would pioneer.
Right.
We have lost that.
True.
I'm so thankful that your church starts churches. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. Number whatever's next. A spirit of perseverance. People that just knew how to get it done when it was tough. When it was hard. When it wasn't maybe the best situation or best circumstances. People that just kept going. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 27 and 28 says this: "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit." Did you catch that? One spirit with a little less. One spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It says striving together. It says, "And nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God." The idea of striving there is wrestling. That's the whole context of his wrestling. I'm not sure. I may have used this illustration a long time ago here. I don't know. But I did have a time where I helped with rugby. How many of you ever seen rugby or heard of rugby? Okay. Some of you. How many of you really know what it is? Okay. How many of you ever played? Okay, less. I got one little guy. Yeah. And all right, he played rugby. Okay. So rugby, listen, rugby is like a cross between football and soccer.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a strange sport, but they get in this thing called a scrum. Now, so for some of you, you think that's a fight. And it almost is. But what they do is they have two opposing teams, and they it's almost like a pause in the game just for a moment, but they all have to get in a position and they lock together. Like they actually have to, hold on to each other. And they lock in together, and then a guy rolls the ball in, and when that ball rolls in, as one movement, they begin to lock in, and they have to move that ball as a one unit. They cannot break apart. The idea here is that of the church is very similar to that. Is a wrestling match, and we've got adversaries, but with one body, we persevere together and wrestle together against our adversaries. What has made this church great is people that got together and put aside little differences and petty things and said, "We've got a greater cause, the cause of Christ, and we're going to work together because our adversary is not each other, our adversary is the devil."
Right.
And we're going to work together to put him in his place. A spirit of perseverance. Our world doesn't know much of that anymore. It's too easy for them. Somebody gives it away to them. Now hold on. That spirit has crept into our churches. And as this church has grown, it's been able to accomplish more things and have more things. But there's a danger with that too. Sometimes you think that you come and you deserve to have all of it. I'm talking to the next generation. No, it's yours to work to keep. That means there's going to be a day where you got to take the place and you got to be doing the ministries and you got to work hard at getting after it and you have to persevere when it's tough.
Right. Yeah. Good. Come up.
Amen. Number next, whatever it is, a spirit of refreshing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says this, "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such." Now, refreshing and restful go hand in hand. Now, that doesn't mean that there's no work that's going on. What it means is this, is that the spirit of a place or the spirit of somebody that you're around brings you to a state of rest. Now, without it trying to embarrass your pastor too much, but every time I get around your pastor, it's refreshing to me.
Amen. Yes.
It's refreshing to me. You ought to hang around your preacher.
Amen.
If he asks you to go somewhere, don't look at your schedule and say, "I don't know if I have time." Put room in your schedule and get around because you need the rest. You need the refreshing. I said, I enjoy coming home because it refreshes me to be here. I know there's work, and I volunteered for work. I did. Nobody wanted to work me, but I volunteered for work. So what I'm going to do is I volunteered, so I'm going to eat my food worth this next few days. But a spirit of refreshing. Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my," listen to this, "yoke upon you." Yoke is work. But when you're in with Jesus, it's refreshing. There's a rest there in that. There's something about it. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Hey, listen, he'll refresh you if you'll get up next to him. You younger generation, get around this older generation and let them refresh you.
Amen.
Let them give you rest. Listen to the aged men and women.
Amen.
Some of you look at some of the things that are out there, maybe the media and whatnot, and you say, "I wish I had that." But if you will look into the lives of those people that are pumping and pushing things, they have no rest. They have none. They're in constant turmoil. That's why they jump from relationship to relationship. That's why they can't stay steady at jobs and all those types of things. Why? They have no rest.
Come on.
Get around some people that can refresh you. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. I love this passage. It's one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. He says this, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths." I like that. The old paths. Not a new path, an old path. Where is the good way, right? The good way. And walk therein, and listen to this, "and ye shall, not mine, ye shall find rest for your souls." That's what it says. I mentioned that new fundamentalism. Listen, you won't find any rest there. You are looking for new doctrines, you won't find any rest there. If you'll escape, as some people say, "I've escaped the old time religion," or "I escaped the independent fundamental Baptist movement. I escaped." Listen, I didn't escape. I went in. I volunteered.
Amen.
I'm not trying to escape.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Why? Because I found rest there.
Amen.
Now, many of you know me and know some of my testimony, but some of you don't. Some of you younger generation don't know a thing about me. But I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I lived on the other side. I know what it's like to cry myself to sleep as a teenage boy. To hide under my bed in fear of what was happening in my home. There was no rest there. So I thought I'd go find in other places, preacher.
Yeah.
So I went to the parties. You know what I found? No rest there.
Come on. Right.
Just as much turmoil there as there was in my own home.
That's right. Come on.
But then I walked in through the doors of a good old-fashioned Bible-preaching church that my friends bugged the fire out of me to go back to.
Yeah. Right.
And I sat under the preaching of God's Word. And God ripped me up one side and down the other. And you say, that doesn't sound restful. Oh, but it was, because there he restored unto me the joy of my salvation. I found rest.
Amen.
When I began to live for the Lord, I found rest. I stopped fighting that all the time. There's rest there. A spirit of refreshing. Hey, listen. Don't let this church go a new way. Just keep the old ways. It's all right. I'm not saying you can't use media. You do. I'm thankful for a microphone. Some of you aren't right now, but I am. And I'm thankful for all the things that we can do. But never let it replace the old ways.
Come on.
Amen.
And last is this, a spirit of revival. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:45, he says, so it's written, the first Adam was made a living soul. And then it says this, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. He makes things alive. I mean alive. It's alive. Listen, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but he made us alive unto God, right? And we're able to serve then a living God. Can I say this? Don't lose the spirit of being alive. I walk into plenty of churches. Listen, they've got the right doctrine, preacher. They've got the right doctrine. By the way, I'm glad they do. They've got the right preaching and teaching, but it's dead as a doornail in that church. And by the way, I don't believe it's the preacher's fault.
Right.
Most of the time.
Yep.
Sometimes it is. And I'll take my fair share of the blame. I'm pastoring. I'll take my fair share of the blame. But listen, a lot of times people come in and they're bored with church. They're bored with what they're doing. They just come and they sit and they soak, and that's all it is. Hey, listen, don't ever let the fire come out. Hey, listen, get behind your preacher and say, amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, don't let that die. You younger Jay, hey, listen, I'm coming down now. You guys right here, listen. It makes you feel good when you say amen. It does. Did you know that? I mean, if you shout, there's something inside you. Now, the first time you do it, can I borrow your seat? Can I just borrow your seat? Here, right, you stand here. You're going to be a preacher for a moment. Okay, and now he's preaching. And the first time I did it in a church service, and I went, amen, I looked around. And I thought, was I supposed to do that? And then I realized there's other people that did it too. And so the next time I said, amen, and I looked around again. Because your preaching is pretty good. And you know, after a while, man, I just kind of enjoyed it. And I started liking it. And other people started liking it. And pretty soon there's a few more amens.
Yep.
And pretty soon the whole place starts to erupt in amens. And you say, well, is that for show? Some people can come in and say it's for show. Now, listen, if you're doing it for the glory of God, hey, you just say amen and don't let anybody else deter you from that. Don't hang around those people and say, well, it's just too loud in that church. Amen! Let it be loud. Thus saith the Lord. Hey, listen, announce it like a trumpet. I'm supposed to preach, right?
Yep.
So you say amen loud. You say, but God's not deaf. You're right, he's not, but he still likes it loud anyway.
Amen.
Hey, he's blowing a trumpet to come back.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Don't let that fire burn out.
Yes, sir.
You young guys, get around. Listen, if you sit around somebody that's sourpuss all the time, that's what you're going to be.
Right.
No, you get around somebody that's excited about the things of God.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't complain about the things of God. Gets excited about those things. I mean, they don't have to run and jump and skip and all those types of things. Maybe they can't. But if they're excited about it, listen, get around them.
Right.
Let that spirit of revival, something that's alive.
Amen.
Man, you'll shake this place.
Yes.
Hey, this week, all kinds of preachers are coming in. Blessed Old Baptist Church, I want to encourage you, blow the roof off this tent.
Amen.
With a spirit of revival.
Amen.
Amen. I like to hang around people that are excited about the things of God?
Sir.
I do. I listen to Pastor Jack Treiber. I listen to him. Here's the reason why. The guy's in pain all the time. But you would never know it because he's got a smile on his face and he's always trying to... By the way, he's the nicest guy to scathingly preach to his people. But if you've ever been around that, he's just excited about what God is doing. By the way, you look at his staff, guess what? They're excited about it. They're excited about... No, not everybody has the same personality. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about the spirit of it. The spirit of it.
Right.
There's something that should burn in every one of us that says we want it living. We don't want a dead church. That's what made this church great for 50 years.
Amen.
Get their spirit before they go up. Elisha knew that Elijah was going. Remember?
Yep.
He told him, he said, now hush, I know. I know he's going. Just hush now. I just want to spend time with him. Some of the gray heads are going to go up. Get their spirit before they go up. Because once they go up, you can't get their spirit. Father, I pray that you would bless now this message. Really, the message is not what I just preached, but the message is what was done with it afterwards. May your will and your way be done. In Jesus' name, amen.